All right, let's get underway on a Tuesday. The female power panel is in. Well, kind of in. Megan is not here today. She's out exercising, I guess. Is that what she's doing?
She is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's lost her mind.
Even in the military, they didn't get us up that early to exercise.
She loves right?
They let you sleep in a little bit. You know, 6 o'clock was usually when you're out and the sun's coming up and, you know, you hear the rooster crowing in the background and stuff and all that. Although over in Guam, it was the pigs were winking.
Oh, gosh.
As far as that was going. But anyway, that was, I don't understand that at all. Somehow that supposedly helps you lose more weight and makes you more fit. Just makes me sleepy later in the day.
I know.
That's just the
and
way
hungry.
I am. Yeah, and hungry. Well, the mess hall is open when, you know, in the military, so you can work out and then go hit the mess hall.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I never had any problem with the mess halls in the military. It was good food.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you were overseas and you knew it was powdered eggs and stuff, they still they still had ways of making it taste good.
You put enough cheese on it, right?
Oh, yeah, well. It was good stuff. It really was. It wasn't bad at all. Wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. But anyway, she won't be here. Elizabeth texted me early this morning. She woke up a little bit under the weather, so she won't be here today. But Heather Beach is here today.
She's
sitting right across from me, and she's brought a friend. Told me about a story that was happening in Cabot. And, of course, my ears always go up when people say Cabot. I've lived there now for 18 years. Doesn't seem possible, but for 18 years. And Missy Bosch is with us, and she's joined us here on the Dave Elswick Show. She's had a Lori Lee experience. Does everybody know who Lori Lee is?
You told us about her last
week.
Yeah. See the scarf up there? See, that's what the folks that fight for school choice.
Okay.
She stands behind them, works with them, works with family council. But at the time, she was living up in Northwest Arkansas. And came across some books in the school library, and she wanted to know why they were there, because they were not the kind of books that you wanted your kids to read.
Yeah. Nope.
And, in fact, the school had rules, supposedly, that supposed to keep books like that out, and I think we're going to hear kind of the same story this morning from Missy. And let me just say thanks for what you're doing, because
you're
a lot of people would come across stuff like that and wouldn't do anything. And I'm one of the most, you know this, Heather, I'm one of the biggest First Amendment people in the world. I don't like getting rid of books, but something like this doesn't need to be in a school library.
Nope.
I'm wondering, did you happen to look to see, do you have Tom Sawyer in a school library?
Well, I haven't actually been in the library. We have students, undercover students.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Doing the queries
Secret
and
shoppers.
The searches. Yes, it's been great. Like, kids, parents are just saying, hey, do you know, is this in the school library? And all they have to do is go to a search in the library, and it all pops up what they have, you know, right there for you to check out.
And they can check it out. There's not like a special section, right?
No, it had call numbers on it. You could go right up to the book and pull it out.
Pull it out of the shelf.
What was on their computer. So I've heard school systems, parents finding these books, but they're not listed in their database. And so somebody had slipped them on the shelf. These are the ones that we found are in the library.
They're under the Dewey Decimal System is
exactly.
What you're telling me.
Okay. Yep.
You remember the Dewey Decimal System?
I do.
Do you remember? Now I don't know if they had them when you were in school or not. They had a card catalog.
Card catalog. Yes.
I remember that.
And you'd put your card upside on the side sideways to go and get your book.
And then you had to go through it, and then you stuck something in there to...
Hold
your place.
I remember that.
Absolutely. Well, you're a little older than I thought you were, Heather. I won't ask your age. Okay. I'm 68, man. I remember when they had that stuff in the card catalog, but it was typed on stone.
On stone?
chiseled on stone.
Yeah. You know, like the Flintstones, you know, or something. But anyway, I remember it like that. Anyway, I wanted her to come on and tell her story because everybody needs to know about this. And then the superintendent needs to take action.
Right. And so.
And I know Thurman. Typically, it doesn't take a lot of pushing to get him to do the right thing.
Right.
He'll do it. So I'm just telling you, Thurman, all right? You got to get these books off the shelf.
We don't want them.
So tell us what you ran into.
All right. So it all started back when the last minute masks were mandated, you know, against the Constitution, against parental rights, against any executive order that was even available to do that kind of thing. And a lot of parents were able to pull their kids out, but I wasn't because we have a special needs daughter and there's just a lot of things that we got to think about before we just pull our kids. Plus, I homeschooled for 10 years. And
okay, good for you.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm exhausted. I have four kids. I don't want to do that again. So somehow I became the point of contact for everybody.
And you're the poster child.
I'm the poster child. And so parents have been emailing me curriculum, pictures of what their kids find in the library. One parent actually found a book and called the teacher. Teacher pulled it right from the curriculum. It is outlawed in a lot of states, but it's a graphic novel about a girl growing up in Iran. But what she writes in her book is true. But is it good for kids to know about what happened to her under the revolutionary regime in Iran? And it was very graphic and disgusting. And the teacher pulled it right out. But the rest of these, they wanted me to do a really long form to get them removed. And so I actually read How You Get Books Removed. And there's an informal process.
How about that?
And it doesn't take all these forms that they're asking. So I'm not asking right now curriculum to be removed. These are library books that the kids have access to.
All right. These are in the school library.
In the school library.
All right. The high school library?
High school library. Okay. So we haven't checked Freshman Academy or the other crazy books that these parents are showing, like the gender unicorn and different things like that, that they're giving out at kindergarten to take home in other states.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of control. Okay. So a parent sent this to me and I quickly looked them up. Some of them are on Common Sense Media. Parents, if you don't know that website, it is phenomenal. You type in a movie, a book, an author, something, and it will tell you directly. You know, it gives it a rating for sex, for language, for violence, for drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
And so the first one I looked up is a book called Juliet Takes a Breath. Okay, this was all under the search of the child, the teenager did a search under queer and gay.
Okay,
so we don't know if there's 50 Shades of Gray in our library either. So I haven't done that search. I do want to look because I am against all porn in school.
Yeah. Right.
And so the first one was Juliet Takes a Breath. And I instantly typed that in. And Common Sense Media just ripped it apart. It said they should not be in school. From page one, derogatory words towards women just used throughout the entire book. And of course, every cuss word that you can imagine. That's just the language. But for the sex portion, it is explicit in how these women are having sex. So it's not, you know, the word relationship. It is step by step, including personal gratification. You know, all of it is in detail in this book.
Okay.
There was a couple more. Look by Romanoff. This one also, sexually explicit scenes. So just think 50 Shades of Grey, however explicit that was. I never read it. Saw snips of a movie and I was like, meh, that's not for me.
Right.
And so, of course, all of these also, you know, they're under the guise of a relationship. And I think a lot of parents were afraid to speak out because they're like,
well, you're a homophobe.
Exactly.
Yeah, so can I?
Right, so under
can
the
I say how
of,
they attack you right,
right
off the
and,
bat? Yeah.
And my family will tell you I'm not. But just, they'll tell you that I'm against all porn.
Well, you don't want to sexualize your kids. That's the problem, is that they're wanting to sexualize our kids.
So and numb them to the fact that sex is actually important, you know, and not just something that you can just push off the wayside. So Look by Romanoff was also very, very graphic. I'm not going to go into details. I had one, you know, I did come across one that I don't think had anything, and it was A Queer History of the United States for Young People. So all that was, nothing was graphic. It just talks about
the history.
The history. Some people that were in the United States that were queer, right? And that's fine. But the other one was done by a grandmother, and she read the book while she was down for cancer, I guess. And so she was writing out this review, and she's like, I have no idea why it's targeted for 10-year-olds.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want my 10-year-old to be questioning, first of all, there's sexual acts that they don't even know the words at 10 years old. And then she's like, and how do you explain that, you know, this whole gender identity thing? Kids at 10 are just like, hey, man, let me go play and play my game and give me some food and chips, right? So now all of a sudden we're like, oh, well, do you think you're this and do you think you're that? And we're trying to make them question what they've never questioned before.
Right.
And so that's what these books are doing subliminally, teaching them that, no, you're not a boy, you're not a girl.
It's confusing them. It's confusing.
It's gender confusion, not identity. It's confusion. And so a couple of them were totally fine, and I'm not going to ask them to be removed. They were just like sports people that are gay or whatever. Right. But a couple of them were just so graphic that everybody that did a review, because some of them aren't on Common Sense Media, but some of them that were reviewed were just like, I can't believe they say this is good for 14 years old and up, or even, you know, because once it gets into explicit, my kid can't go to a library and check out a Playboy, or, you know, you have to have an ID.
Yeah.
And so while one thing is pictures, this is graphic detail, which to me is way worse than pictures.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can imagine it.
Right, right.
All right. Let's take a break.
All right.
We're going to get a break in, and then we'll be back and talk with Missy some more. Thus far, what has been the administration's response? We'll talk about that when we come back. East End Towing, don't forget about them. You know, if you run into a problem, whatever it is, for instance, let's say your car breaks down on the side of the highway and you're towing your boat. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, seriously, do you just leave the boat sitting on the side of the highway and know when you come back, the tires will be gone on the trailer and maybe the boat will be gone as well? I don't think so. East End Towing knows what to do in that situation. Or your camper. You know, you can have one of those big campers. I mean, what are they going to do then? Also, you want to make sure that when you're towed, they take your car where you want it to be taken to and not some impound lot somewhere. East End Towing's got all the answers for you. The phone number for them is 501-888-8849. 501-888-8849. Put that in your phone and call East End Towing when you need them and tell them Dave sent you. All right, back with you here on the Dave Elswick Show. If you're from Cabot, you may be finding some things out today that you weren't aware of. And and we'll thank Missy for that, all right? Because it only takes one parent to at least pull the shades back, little light in. And, you know, a few years back, I forget how many years it's been, over eight, because it was when I was at another radio station that we did it. But Lori Lee was the person who did it up in Northwest Arkansas. And those books were taken out. Now, I don't know if they're still gone, all right, because Lori doesn't live up there anymore. So I don't know if somebody has picked up, you know, the torch, so to speak, and carried on, because that's the key. You got to just keep at it. If you don't keep at it, they'll say the heat's off and they'll move on and do stuff again. And a lot of people say, well, Dave, you're just against the school boards. No. That's not true. Many school boards do exactly what they're supposed to do. And they stay within the rules. They stay within the guardrails on the highway. And they take care of things. But then there are some school boards that they just don't pay attention.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that they put those books in knowingly, knowing what was in them. They just, you know, they just want to be progressive.
Yeah.
Right.
And put them on the shelves. Well, they don't need to be up
there. Exactly.
That's the simplest way to put it. So Missy has come across some of this stuff thus far, and I mentioned that we'd get to this when we got back from the break. What's been the results from the administration?
Well, I emailed the board. The principal of the high school, and then the administrator, of course. And I got an email back from the administrator, and he said, essentially, here's a form you need to fill out, page 20. There's a way that we remove books from the school. And I open up this, you know, policy letter and this attachment. Uh-huh. And I realize, oh, I can only remove one book per month. Oh, and only if they say that it can be removed. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's like 8 books here. So I go back up to the top and I start reading the policy. Well, lo and behold, there is an informal process that's supposed to happen first. And we as parents or the community, according to their policy, have a right to know everything that's in their school. And the informal process is you tell me as a parent why it's in your school. Don't force me to tell you it needs to be out. You give me a good reason why there's pornography in the school, and then I'll tell you what I think about it.
Okay, so the the principal has to make this decision, or is there somebody over? Is there somebody over the principal? I mean, I know the superintendent and all of those, but I'm just saying.
So the media specialist, so the library/media specialist, and they gave me a name, Dr. Thurman did, and I think Dr. Melanie Durkop.
Okay.
So I don't know who she is yet, and I have not heard from her. And so essentially she's going to reply back to me why these books should be allowed or not allowed, because they can pull them instantly. You don't have to go through a process.
Wow.
And then once she tells me which books she feels should stay, if they're the ones that are clean, you know, we'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
But their policy specifically says parents have every right to know every book in the library, every piece of curriculum, and every alternative curriculum.
And challenge those books if necessary. And then
and a parent did, and it worked.
Everybody sits down and looks at them, mm-hmm. and then they say, you know, well, you know, maybe we should leave Huckleberry Finn in there or whatever. I mean,
right.
I bring that up just because
that was a very contentious book.
Right.
You know, and people got it out of some schools and not at others. They don't see it as the great literature it is.
Right.
All right. But I don't think explaining how to have, you know, oral copulation and things of that nature is great literature.
Well, it's not teaching them anything.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm all for good classic books. Like my kids, I forced them to read those classics when we were homeschooling, and they would learn. A good book will take your child and teach them a lesson that they never learned before.
Mm-hmm.
A life lesson.
Right.
Not a sexual position.
Right.
Exactly. Right?
Right.
Like that's not.
Absolutely.
That's not what children need to be learning.
Right. I'm with you on that. But that's the problem that we've got in the school systems in America today, is that it's not just about reading, writing, and arithmetic, so to speak. It's all.
Oh, yeah. It's dumbing them down with the curriculum.
Deeper than that.
Dumbing them down with the curriculum.
Yeah.
Sexualizing them.
Then the other thing that we did challenge in that Dr. Thurman said they're going to call the vendor who creates the questions is another parent, and a very well-known parent. Her son was in 10th grade, and he was taking his 10th grade health test.
Uh-huh.
And the question specifically said, Ben was in an accident and broke his penis. What surgery should he have? What is relevant? I don't even know, right? Because this health class is teaching them if ectomy is at the end or ostomy, you know, like these different endings.
Right, right. Yeah.
Why do we have to go there?
Right.
Right? That is inappropriate. And so he did say he would contact the vendor to get that question changed. But I'm thinking a 10th grade boy, 15, there, and that's why he snapped the picture of the question and sent it to his mom, who was like, oh my gosh, look what I have to answer.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, like, who wants that? And girls, of course, take the same test.
Right. And you know they're all laughing in class about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
what happened to health class? Let's learn anatomy.
Right.
Like, just specifically anatomy and how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When I was in school, it was all about plumbing. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get that either.
You know,
I don't get that kind of stuff. And I would be just as irate as you are. You can ask some of my kids' teachers that had to deal with me.
Yeah.
You know, like, what was it? Something writing where the kid just supposedly writes down his thoughts and or her thoughts and don't worry about
journaling.
Spelling.
Yeah.
Don't forget about spelling and all of that. And my son brought a paper home and I said, read this to me. And he just started making up a story.
Right.
I mean, he couldn't read it because it wasn't spelled right or anything. So I went and saw the teacher about it. What was that called? Creative writing.
Creative writing.
That's what it's called. Creative writing.
They just want
writing.
Your thoughts and not your actual.
Yeah. And, you know, this is to get the creative juices going and stuff. And I said, what about correcting spelling? Well, we don't worry about that, Mr. Ellswick. You know, they're going to write on computers. They got spell check. And I looked, I just looked at her and just looked at her and said, there, there, and there. Which one you use?
Right.
And she looked at me
so
like,
important.
She was stupid, you know?
Yep.
And I said, no. They need to learn how to spell.
They do.
Right, they do.
You know, get the little blue books back in class again. Remember the vocab books? They need to get vocab books back in
school. Yes, they do. And, you know, the curriculum is so important because we went to the, I call it the State of the Union address that they did at the last Cabot meeting. And
I'm going to have you hold because we're close to taking news coming up here on the Dave Ellswick Show. I'm getting to my clock right now. All right, don't forget about PI Roofing. Joel Johnson, his wife Veronica, have done a great job over the 20 years that the business has been around. They started off, let me just kind of give you a background on what Joel did. He got tired of not being able to do it the way he wanted to do it, which is the correct way, to be honest with you. And he would drive around neighborhoods. And you can look at roofs if you know what you're looking for and tell the roofs that got problems. And he would go to those homes and he would knock on the door and he says, I can tell you got some leaks. And he says, will you let me get up there and take care of them, find them for you? And they would let them do that. That's why they're called the leak detectives at PI Roofing, is because that's what they were doing for the first few years. And he slowly built this business now into the business that it is today. Look, somebody that comes to Joel and wants to work for him, he's willing to give jobs, and he needs people, in fact, but he needs people that know what they're doing. So he's got a big building, and they've got in one part of the building, they've got a roof built. And they make people get up there, and they'll say, okay, put some shingles on there. And he'll watch what they're doing. And if they don't do the way they're supposed to do, then they don't get a job. I can guarantee you that the people that work for Joel Johnson have been taught how to hang shingles. They have been taught how to do it the PI Roofing way so that they'll last and so that you don't have to have somebody up on your roof every year. Because with the materials they got now, they're almost lifetime materials. If they're put on correctly, you shouldn't have to worry about your roof. It's that simple. So you just call, you know, Joel Johnson's people at 707-3551, 707-3551, and they'll come out and look at your roof, and they'll tell you where it stands, whether you need a new one or you need some work on yours or you're fine. It's that simple. No harm, no foul. That's just the way it is. And again, 707-3551 or visit them online at piroofing.com. All right, Missy Botch is with us as well as joining us today is Heather Beach. And we're talking about what's going down over in Cabot right now and about books that Missy has come across that's in the school library that really shouldn't be in the school library, and she's following all the procedures. And how long has this been going on now?
Probably just a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Okay.
I just haven't heard back from this doctor lady who is supposed to, you know.
She's probably pulling the books and looking at them.
Possibly.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully doing
hopefully
her
reading
job.
Them. Yeah. I don't know how they got in there in the first place.
Yeah, how
that's
did they
what
get
I would
there?
Like to know, the procedures for ordering books and placing them in the library.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing to let parents know.
Yep, I agree with that.
Other parents
as well.
Across the state need to be looking into this in their schools as well.
And by the way, it was not the parents that went into the school to get the books, because that's somewhat difficult to do.
It actually is difficult as a parent. You have to call and make an appointment. You have to be guided. I'm sure at this point now that, you know, I don't want them to feel on the defensive.
Well, they should be on the defensive if they got this kind of crap in the library.
Well, they should, but, you know, I just happen to be the mouthpiece, you know,
right.
And so they think I'm attacking them, but I love my kids so much, and I want them to have such a good education
right.
that I'm just not going to stop. Like, you can you can make, you know, whatever accusations about me, but they don't know. They just think I'm a stay-at-home mom that has nothing better to do.
Right.
They don't know my background.
Okay.
So, so the last thing also, it started with the curriculum. When I mentioned it to a large group of parents that are following with the mask and everything was, you know, hey, we got these scores back from the ACT Aspire and then the ACT. And kids K through six were doing okay on the ACT Aspire at the end of the year. Now, this is the nationalized test that goes against all the other states. Because uh-huh. they get tested, you know, on their little curriculum that they use here. Well, then in 7th grade, 7th through 12th, these kids are failing miserably. So I go in there and I'm like, why isn't the K through 6 failing? Well, the K through 6 are using Common Core Math, a book written by the creator of Common Core.
Okay.
Now, Common Core Math, if we've all heard, mm-hmm. it takes 15 steps to get the same thing that I could tell you to do in one step.
Right.
Okay, so they're using Common Core Math. And then my son brought home Wit and Wisdom. They're using that for language. Wit and Wisdom is already brought up in Tennessee. And a B-1 bomber mom, retired, bought all the curriculum, had a bunch of parents go through it because they heard it was laced with Common Core, not Common Core, critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took it and was posting pictures of what she found. And the makers of Wit and Wisdom are suing her for copyright issues. Okay, she's the one that called them out. The school's like, we're not going to remove that. And now she's being sued because she put pictures of what actually is what our kids are reading.
Right.
So I look at my kids' Wit and Wisdom book, and they're learning about a Native American tribe. And I start reading through the pages. And I'm from Montana. You know, we were intermingled with Native Americans. We learned all kinds of Native American things. We learned the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, because we have a lot of ugly. But the book that I read from him... Filled with nothing but the white man hates the environment. The white man is killing all of our animals. The white man, the white man, the white man. And I asked my son, I'm like, did you learn anything besides the bad part that like the culture of these Native Americans, their dances, their jewelry, their, you know, we would go and do powwows mm-hmm. in Montana. We would actually go and watch them do these ceremonial dances. And you have such a respect for the Native Americans after you learn everything.
Right.
And he's like, no. Not
We're just
going
to focus on the hate.
Just focus on the hate. And I was, I did what I was supposed to. I talked to the curriculum specialist at Cabot. I, you know, to the school board, some guy on the school board instantly was like, how can you say our students are dumb? And, you know, he lashed out and I was like, that's not your job as a school board member to lash out. I just would like to know why we're using this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a process, of course, every few years you change out your curriculum. So I emailed Johnny Keyes and the state school board. Johnny Keyes is like, your school chose it. I'm out. Like, but they offer this on their website. And the other thing that this cracks me up is that our school board, Mr. Randolph, who does our curriculum, says, well, we chose curriculum that is widely accepted through the rest of Arkansas.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, why would you mimic the rest of Arkansas that is failing
right.
with their curriculum? Why not look at the Northeast or the Northwest and see what they're doing? Or even Florida.
Yeah.
How did they go from 29th to number 3 in 3
wow.
years?
Wow.
Eliminated, outlawed all Common Core material, school vouchers. I mean, right there.
This is in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
I did
DeSantis.
Not know that.
Oh,
well,
you need
I mean,
to look it up.
DeSantis.
So I learned it from Dean Odle, who is running for the governor of Alabama. He gave the speech last week, and I was like, I instantly looked it up. DeSantis is doing everything right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I told you, I've worked with several of the state legislators trying to get this, you know, them to put in what DeSantis has done
yeah.
about getting the money to follow the students to whatever school they want to go to.
Competition between the schools will get us back to the place. And I keep saying we have $8,000 per student in Cabot. We should have the best curriculum in the state.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money.
Well, Cabot is considered one of the best schools in the state.
It's only because it's safe and the teachers are so kind and loving. It's mm-hmm. not because our scores reflect anything. You know, when you reflect our scores amongst the rest of Arkansas, yeah, we might look good. But you take Arkansas versus Massachusetts.
Right.
Right. There's no comparison.
Right.
You know. So that's what I've been working on. And of course, I got shut down. We got to wait for appropriate time. But, you know, these are the kind of things that ignite me.
Right.
Because I don't want my kids to graduate from Arkansas High School and then have to take remedial training before getting a basic college course.
Yep.
And I heard 30% of Arkansas kids have to take remedial classes.
It's significantly high. It really is.
That's exactly what happened to me when I graduated. I had like A's and B's.
And you still
all went through high school, and then I got in college, and I was like, oh my gosh. You know, they just pass you along. That's what they do. They just pass you along. You're a good kid. And, you know,
and that's in our policies.
They make things easy on you.
Yep.
So college was a wake-up call. For sure.
Shows you what you got educated on.
I mean, I did fine when I got to college, but it was just, it was an adjustment, you know. So.
Yeah, I talked to my grandchild about that because he's down in Louisiana Tech now. And he wants to be an engineer, pardon me, not an architect, an engineer. And I said, now you understand that the teachers are going to tell you that this book is supplemental to the class, but you will be tested on it. And he says, what are you saying? I said, you got to read it.
Yeah, right.
And then you got to know how to go in and take notes out of it.
Yeah.
You know, do you know how to outline a chapter in a book?
Yeah.
No. So I showed him how to do it, you know, and he's doing okay right now.
Yeah.
But it's a huge change for a student to go from high school to college.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. And they're going to be expected to do some critical thinking on their own.
Right.
And hopefully your high school has helped them with that of how to do critical thinking. And I find that sadly lacking across.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you don't go to school anymore to be taught how to research, right? And to think on your own. They just tell you what to think.
Right.
And so these kids don't know what to go like, oh, okay, I just believe what you say, you know.
Right.
Instead of saying, hey, let's go research this. Let's figure out. And I think
Even write, term papers anymore or theme papers?
Yeah.
Do they do that?
My son is.
Do they have to notate it and everything?
No, so I think they just have to give it. No, I don't think. You know, I don't even remember doing that in high school. I think that was like.
I remember doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember.
I got real good.
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. The basic.
I got real good at the IBID statement.
Yeah.
That's an IBID.
Yeah, you learn. I mean, I felt like I learned a lot when I went to college as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was an adult. It was a lot easier, too.
Right. Yeah.
Now, anyway, I'll get back to the book.
Okay.
So where are we standing?
So I'm waiting to hear back.
How long are you going to give them to respond?
Well, this week. I'm going to find out this lady's number, and then I'm going to call her directly. Because there was another one that they say is actually written as a book. Now, it's in our library, but it was created as a educational book by this author named Christina Watkins, and it's called Date Rape. And so what this author has done on a lot of books is she takes the testimonies of people who have been raped and she just inserts them into the book.
Okay.
Okay. So, and I view this so horribly. Like I've watched, you know, documentaries on rape and whatever, and it's so graphic and it's so evil and mean. Right.
Right.
And so what she did is she took cop testimony and then she took authors' pros and cons of certain issues and she laid them out. And to me, like, why would you explicitly give details on how to rape somebody in high school? Like, this isn't educational. Like, we need to talk to our kids about rape. But I am not going to tell my son, hey, read this book on how this lady was victimized in a dark alley and what he did to get away with it.
Wow.
Right? Like, that's not what we teach our kids.
Yeah.
And so this is desensitizing our boys, especially. Maybe it's enlightening some girls on what happens, but you know, and it was just a pros and con. Is date rape, it says, like, because of drugs? Is date rape because of alcohol? Do we need to have stricter laws? But the first two is like an actual testimony on rapes that happened. I don't know, that's just insane to me.
Missy, do you feel like there's any hope for public schools anymore? Do you think it's just a done deal with public schools?
I don't. I see so many parents rising up that if we could get back to the basics like DeSantis did in Florida, and each school is run by parents on the school board.
Yeah.
They're not grandparents. They're not old, long teachers. They're not business owners. They're parents that have a vested interest in what their kids learn, and they change the policies. That's our next thing. We want to be able to air our grievances to our elected board officials every month when they vote on something.
Right.
You know, stop making us petition through email
right.
and not let anybody else know what's happening.
Right.
We can't speak at Cabot school boards.
What?
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's a common
thing. It's against
thing.
The policy.
In Cabot, Whitehall, they won't let you speak.
It is.
Yeah. They have their meetings in a very little small room. They only allow like maybe 10 or 12 people. Everybody else has to stand outside.
Yep. It needs to stop. If I can come to the Capitol and talk to a legislator
right.
and say, hey, you're going out for this vote. I want you to know how I feel.
Right.
I should be able to go to a school board meeting
right.
and
it's
let the other parents
right.
know what my problem is. There's a little girl that's at Cabot School that has been petitioning the school board and Thurman for 2 years on school dress. She showed up to the meeting last month and they looked at her and didn't even say anything, didn't let her speak. She had been emailing them for 2 years. She bawled her eyeballs out. She's like, I have 200 signatures of students. I just want them to hear me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even let her talk because she didn't get 50 signatures from 18 years or older to do a legal filing for a petition.
Wow.
That's how we talk to our school board.
All right. We'll be back. We're going to talk about that some more when we come back here on the Dave Ellswick Show. And yeah, I'm kind of like you guys. I think that school boards would like to minimize parental input as mm-hmm. much as they possibly can.
Right.
Hey, don't forget about Dustin Turner. The housing market's still hot. I mean, now's the time to sell if you're really looking to sell because the inventory is still low and it's still a seller's market. And money is getting a little tighter and some of the people who are out looking to buy are sitting on their hands a little bit more now and not willing to pay some of the prices that are being asked to buy a home that are sitting out there. I told you I'm looking to get into selling, but I still got a couple of things I need to do with my house because I had Dustin Turner out at my house. I asked him to come out. I wanted him to look at the home. We walked through it. He told me you need to do that. You know, with the ferret eight part of the baseboard, you need to change that out and things of that nature. Plus, we're going to paint all of the baseboards and the doors and things of that nature before we take the pictures to put it up so people can look at it. But the bottom line is now's the time to sell if you're looking to sell and you need somebody that knows how to sell. It's not like it used to be. You might remember used to move to a new community. You'd go see a realtor. They'd have this huge book that they'd bring out and sit down in front of you and you'd go through it and look at the pictures, you know? I mean, typically after doing that, you had to wear a truss because you had a hernia. But the bottom line is this book was huge. I mean, huge. And you'd look at them and you'd write down five or six and ask the realtor to take you out to look at them and show them to you. Used to have open houses. That kind of stuff is all parts of the past. Most of buying now is done on the internet and getting your pictures of your home in front of as many eyes as you possibly can. And that's where Dustin Turner really excels. You go see Dustin, I guarantee you, you'll have a lot of people wanting to see your home and then you'll end up with a lot of offers. What you need to do is call Dustin Turner at 501-952-2969. You can Google him at Dustin Turner, the home team, or just go online to hometeamsoldit.com. That's hometeamsoldit.com. And then you probably can just start packing. All right. So take me back here, Missy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk to the school board, you can't just show up.
No. You have to send an email and ask for something to be put on the agenda.
Okay.
But you may not speak to them. And so the only way that we got an open...
No, wait. These are elected officials and you can't talk to them?
No, not during the school board meeting.
Oh,
not
okay.
during their... even before or after, nothing. Even yep. if they vote on something that you disagree with.
Or you'll be a
with,
domestic
I
terrorist.
I was almost arrested at the last one where they voted to extend. Exactly, right? I was so upset about that. Thankfully, Arkansas School Board Association... you know, disavowed that.
Yeah.
But I stood up because they chose to not mask 7 through 12, but continue to mask K through 6. Well, that
right.
affects me. And I stood up and my lawyer, Greg Payne, said, you may stand up and say, don't touch me. According to my First Amendment right, I can air my grievance.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the cops, you know, the Cabot School, like they all started swarming me and I wasn't doing anything. I was just speaking out. You may not speak out. You may not be disruptful.
Right.
There's like a whole list. So the only way we can speak is to do what the Arkansas state law says. And I have to get 50 petition or 50 signatures of actual voters, not parents, because there's a lot of parents
right.
that are military and they're not voters. Well, they don't count.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Right.
So they can live in Lone Oak. They can have a kid, but I have to have an actual voter. Then I have to take it to the office, the clerk,
yeah.
have them look up each person individually.
Yep.
And then I take that form back to the school board.
Yep.
It is a process.
Right.
And that is, to me, that needs to be changed because other states allow for open grievance before and after. You just sign up the week before that you would like to speak
yep.
and to question them.
Yep.
And I think that that is, that's, they're elected.
Right.
I can't, so I have to secretly email them.
Yep.
And half of them have never replied to my emails and they have been voted in, you know?
Right. They're a dynasty.
Yeah.
The rule will take.
A lot of interesting things happening yeah. in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll make a phone call or two today.
You should.
Be asking some questions. Missy, thanks for coming in. Not easy to do what you're doing today because you put a target on yourself.
I have already. Yep. I'm fine.
You know, that's what Lori Lee did, and she got a lot of,
yep.
a lot of grief for it. So. If you start getting grief, you let me know.
Oh, I will.
I appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah.
Heather, thanks for coming
yeah,
in.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure
yes,
having
yes.
you in. Bible
yes.
Guys are next. Stick around. The Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM, The Answer. Steve Hess had to work this morning, so he's on base doing his thing, and Scott was out doing his thing.
I think he's traveling.
He's in Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I can't keep up with him.
He's doing some things that he has to do. I got a text from him about it.
Yeah.
He'll be back next week. Hopefully, Steve will be back as well. And Billy has been filling in. You know, when nobody's around, he's been doing this on his own.
That's
and
me.
Coming in and taking the questions. Last week, if you remember, we had someone question us about, you know, why does God allow bad things to happen to innocent people? And by innocent people, we're talking about young children.
Yep.
I mean, look, I did news for years, and I can tell you it's abhorrent. What adults do to children
yep.
at times.
Yep, yep,
I mean,
yep.
it's just terrible. But is it God allowing it to happen, and is God directing some of this to happen? And people got questions about it.
Sure.
A lot of times the questions is because they haven't studied enough, and they don't know what the Bible says about the world that we live in. Again, I'm going to make the point, and I know that we got an answer back from the person who asked us this question, and they weren't happy with our answer. And I just want to say that you live in a world, and the world that you get up and you see every day that looks normal to you, because the sun came up on the east and it sets in the west, and you know there's air to breathe and there's flowers growing and whatnot, is not the world that God wanted for us.
Right, right.
It is a fallen world. It is a fallen creation. Bible's very clear that the creation groans, waiting for the return of the Savior.
Yeah, yes. And I realized the moment we got the response that I began dealing with.
Well, you told me.
Yeah, I did.
I know.
Yeah, I know there's going to be a response.
This is what's going to happen.
Yes. And I did. I think I nailed that pretty accurately.
So. Yeah, you did.
I'm not a prophet or anything, but I have been doing this for a while.
Right.
So, and part of the reason that I knew that was going to happen is that as I kind of rehearsed what had happened last week through my mind, I went, you know, I answered the question and maybe even a little bit superficially. And then I ended up following a rabbit trail away from the direct answer and talking about a whole lot of other things that were very important. But we spent an hour talking, but we certainly didn't talk about this specific response for an hour. So let me come back. No, the answer, the follow-up question said, basically, are you saying that all of this happens because children are not really innocent and because they have original sin? The answer to that is absolutely
not. We never said that.
The reason that this happens is that the world is sinful. And there are evil people in the world. Matter of fact, all of us without a Savior are evil, period. Now, does your evil look like my evil, look like somebody else's evil? No, probably not. But Scripture says that from the moment we're born, our intentions are towards evil. And for some portion of the population, that evil expresses itself through wanting to harm children. Now, I have talked in public, in smaller public venues, about what I'm about to talk about right here. I've never done this on the air. I'm going to tell you, you mentioned a very specific statistic that upwards of 750,000 children are abused in the U.S. alone every year. The reason I speak harshly about this particular subject is that I myself fall into that statistic. And I won't go into any details, but I was 6 years old when I found myself a part of this statistic. So understand that I'm not speaking as someone on the outside looking in or as a pastor trying to appease you. I am speaking as a man of God who has experienced what we're talking about here.
Abuse.
Have dealt with that, both with some counseling and with a whole lot of prayer. I've been through all the questions that you're asking yourself right now. You know, why did God allow this to happen? Why does God allow bad things to happen, period? And that was probably why my answer was not as detailed as it could have been last week, because this is something I've wrestled with for, you know, more than 30 years at this point. I guess since I'm getting ready to turn 48, something I've dealt with more than 40 years at this point. So the short answer is because God, by and large, does not interfere. What's he supposed to do? Let me ask that from a different question. What's he supposed to do? Everyone who has in their heart the desire to commit a sin, he just kills them? Because guess what? There wouldn't be any of us.
No.
Okay. Only people who desire to harm people who are innocent? Well, what form of innocent? I mean, where do we draw lines? You see, the problem with the question that you've asked, why does God allow that to happen, is because God's primary desire is that none should be lost. The Bible says clearly, this is the will of God, that none should be lost. And if he were to just kill people when they started to commit a horrific sin, it removes from the potential the possibility that they would ever repent. Look, I know who my abuser was. I know that right before that man died, that he found Jesus. Do I hate what he did? Absolutely. Would it have killed? Thank God his mother went to be with the Lord long before it came to light. Would it have killed his mother to find out what he had done? Absolutely. Was I angry for years about what had happened? Yes and no. I mean, in much the same way you're sometimes angry about something, but it's kind of a secondary sort of thing. Am I thrilled that the man found Jesus? That's a tough one. It really is. I believe in honesty, right? I guess when I get to heaven, I'll have to tell him, I'm glad you're here, but please go to the other side of heaven, right? I mean, right. It's like, look, you need to live on the other side of the street or something. You don't need to be living next door to me, right? So there has to be room for grace. There has to be room for grace for all of us. Am I saying that all sin is created equal? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said it would be better if you tied a millstone around your neck and threw yourself into the river than to harm a child. It is the most egregious thing that man can do to other man. But there still has to be room for salvation. There still has to be room for all to have the opportunity to be saved. There still has to be the room for God's will, which is that none should be lost, to play out. Now, I know that's not going to satisfy you. It didn't satisfy me. It didn't satisfy me for years and years and years. I went through a long period of time where I was angry. And understand that while I was abused at six, I suppressed that until I was in the sixth grade, which would make me, what, 12 or 13? I was just sitting in class one day in sixth grade, and all of a sudden, there it was. I knew exactly what had happened, full detail, knew who it was, et cetera, et cetera. And it took a long time for me to get to a position where, A, I stopped blaming God, because it's not God's fault. It is sinful man's fault. It took me a long time to come to grips with what had happened. It took me a long time to not blame my parents. It took me a long time not to blame the caregiver that was involved. There is healing on the other side. If you are specifically the one to whom something has been done, you probably need some professional help. And I sought some professional help. I believe in professional help. Part of why we do what we do here on the air is that we believe people should have help. I spend my life, the men around this table, we spend our lives helping other people.
So well, you work in the prisons and work with people who are broken.
When they will let us in, I absolutely do. So not to mention that I speak to people every week, some personally at church, some via the interwebs, et cetera, et cetera. So if it's you personally who have been abused, seek some professional help. It'll do you worlds of good.
All right. We'll be back. We'll continue this discussion. We've given a lot of time today to discuss this, because it is a hard topic. All right. Are you concerned about out-of-control government spending? How about soaring inflation? All those are going on right now. Did you hear that oil was $82 a barrel yesterday? Political unrest and a rapid decline of the U.S. dollar. That's why millions of Americans now are investing in silver and gold to help protect their nest eggs. Don't let 1970s style inflation destroy your retirement. Learn how silver and gold could help you protect your assets at IRA, the 401k, and hard-earned savings by calling 501-222-3315. The David Lucas Financial folks work with one of the only regulated and licensed national wholesalers in the country. so you get direct prices from a dealer you can trust. To learn more about buying silver and gold, call 501-222-3315. That's 501-222-3315. Investment advisory services offered through David Lucas Financial, an Arkansas registered investment advisor. All right, back with you, Dave Elswick Show, Bible Guys. And we went back and talked about what we spoke on last week, because we've got a response from the person who sent us the question. And as I looked at it, and then as Billy looked at it, we figured we didn't answer it in totality, which may have caused some confusion, and that's what we don't want to cause.
Right.
We don't want to cause confusion. I will say this, though, I don't know if Billy feels this way or not, but it is a way that I feel about it, because a lot of things has happened in my life that weren't my choice to have happen to me.
Sure.
I mean, I've had children who have been abused. I have had, you know, two sons that were abused, two daughters who were abused, and by people outside the family. So it's not something that is foreign to me. And, I can tell you I had a lot of anger, and I was sitting and questioning God. But in those quiet moments, and I'm gonna highly recommend to you that you always set up some time that you sit down, get away from everybody else. I know you think it's impossible. It's not. You can turn off your phone, and you can go somewhere away from your family. You might want to just sit on the edge of the parking lot at Walmart. I don't know, but just get away from everybody, and then be quiet.
Yep.
Be quiet.
Yep.
And search, you know, to hear that voice from God, from the Holy Spirit, and let him speak to you. And he's done that to me in the past. I got an answer today. I didn't tell the ladies, but I got an answer today about this whole thing about God telling me he wanted me to get a school started.
Oh, yeah?
From one of my guests today.
Remind me at the break. I have a word for you as well.
Okay.
Maybe someone to reach out and contact.
Okay.
Who's doing something very similar down in Texas. And y'all probably need to hook up in some way, form, or fashion, because what they're doing is amazing work down there.
Well, I'm just saying, if this comes to fruition, you will want to put your children in this school.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you.
Yep.
You're going to want to put your kid in this school. Anyway, bottom line is this. You get quiet. You commune with the Holy Spirit. It's a person. He's there. He wants to commune with you. He wants to talk with you. And here's what he's told me at times when I've questioned, why do you let this happen? Why do you let that happen? Blah, blah, blah. Because I think I'm a pretty smart guy, and I get irritated at times. And here's what he says. You don't have the mind of God.
Right.
You don't have the mind. I've been praying about that, to have the mind of Christ. Some things have already started to change because of that. But I'm just telling you that I am a finite individual.
Yep.
And I cannot tell you that God should do this, or that I can't tell God that. God is God. I mean, he's perfect. He knows exactly what we need even before we ask. So the bottom line is, as the Bible says, his way is not your way.
And you must also understand that God is amazing at taking what is meant for evil
and turning it into good.
And making it good. And I know the moment I utter those words, you're sitting there thinking, but, and I will tell you that over the course of the last 45 years of my life, that there have been, probably not that long. because that would make me three, right?
Yeah.
But over the course of my ministry, how's that? There have been people that I have been able to have conversations with and help them heal who I would not even be able to understand had I not experienced what I experienced.
That's right.
I
understand what you're saying.
Do I wish it had not happened to me? Absolutely. Am I thankful that God took that and created an opening for me to be able to help other people? Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it is an evil that happened in my life. But as a result, it is an evil to which I can speak with others who are also wounded. God took something that was bad and gave it the opportunity to be good. Now, how we react to that opportunity really determines whether it becomes something that is festering in our soul or an opportunity to worship God. And I'm going to say, and please don't be offended, I'm going to say at this point, it appears to me, having dealt with a lot of people over the years, that you're festering right now just a little bit. And you're wanting to blame God for something that has happened. And I absolutely understand. And so does God. And he's not offended that you're angry at him at this particular moment. He's not scared of the fact that you're angry over something that has happened. He's not scared that you're questioning why. He doesn't mind a question. He really doesn't. God is big enough that he is not afraid of your doubts. He's not afraid of your fears. He's not afraid of your questions. He is perfectly okay with who he is.
Yeah. And he knows who he is. The key is, how much do you know about what God is?
He also knows who we are, and he understands that we are broken.
And that's the other thing. I bring this up to people from time to time. People will say, I can't believe this is going on, that's going on, and here's what I tell them.
Yep.
You live in a fallen world. Of course it's going to be this way.
And understand that part of what we're seeing here is just the time that we live in. We know that God has always... right before God seriously judges a nation, what we see is that nation abusing its most helpless, the children and the old. What sent Israel into exile more than once was the fact that they weren't protecting the children, and or they were literally offering them up as burnt offerings to false gods.
Mm.
I don't think this is anything more than the natural outcome of where we are historically on God's timetable. God is about to the point where he's going to become the ultimate judge of all of this. And unfortunately, the sins that we see play out right before that happens, you're right that God is angry about this. And he's angry enough about this that this is generally the last straw that breaks the camel's back. He goes, okay, look, if you're not even going to protect your own children, I will step in and protect them all by punishing all of you. Now, unfortunately, this last punishment is the big one, I'm afraid. I think we have reached the point where God's like, I'm done with all of you. Watch this. And then we get to go look at the book of Revelation, and I don't know that I want to see those things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, we got to get a break. Bill O'Reilly is coming up, and we're going to hear what he has to say. When I get back, I'm going to tell you about Hillcrest Jewelry, and then we're going to talk more with Billy. Well, unless you have your head in the sand, you've heard the story about if you're wanting to buy gifts for Christmas, you should be doing it now because of the supply chain problems that we have going on in our country and overseas, and it's affecting everybody. So what you should be doing is getting ready right now. So I'm going to suggest that you get a hold of Eric over at Hillcrest Designer Jewelry. Number one, you need to, if you want something unique, something that is made just for one specific person, that's going to be completely different from anything else anybody else can have because Eric's going to design it. You got to get with him now because you don't do that kind of work over a couple of days. It usually takes about a month to make something like that come to fruition. So if you'll give him a call at 501-246-3655, he'll set up an appointment for you to come in and sit down with him and tell him what it is you're looking for. Now, that's just for gift. If you're looking for, you know, engagement rings or wedding sets and things of that nature, he can do that for those types of rings as well. And you need to, you know, make sure that you're getting them done well ahead of time so they'll be ready to go. then he can do a brooch, he can do a necklace, he can do a bracelet, he can do all kinds of stuff for you over at Hillcrest Designer Jewelry. Now, for Christmas specifically, he's got a lot of stuff on display, but usually people are looking for something unique, so you need to sit down and talk to Eric. Again, give him a call, and you want to reach him over at Hillcrest Designer Jewelry. Just call him at 501-246-3655, or if you'd like, you can stop by and visit him at 3000 Cavanaugh Boulevard, Suite E in Little Rock. He opens at 10 a.m. Just go to the door, ring the buzzer. He'll let you in, and you'll like Eric. Eric's a great guy, and talk to him about, he loves jewelry, by the way, and he will talk to you about what it is specifically that you want. That's Hillcrest Designer Jewelry. The phone number again, 501-246-3655. All right, Billy's here for the Bible Guys today. We got a couple guys that are out missing right now. They're taking care of things they got to take care of as far as making a living, or they're doing something like Scott is with the church. So with those two things in mind, Billy is the number one guy with us today.
I am here.
He made a statement to me just a moment ago, and I said, we got to talk about that in the next half hour, because I've talked about singularity. Now, that's the belief, the merging of man and machine, so that literally they believe you can live forever. Of course, that means they're going to want to just put your consciousness in a computer somewhere, and all the stuff about having a body and stuff goes the way of the dodo bird. However, Billy just said to me that there are people that are making predictions now that disease as we know it will be gone.
Yep.
In 2050.
Yep. So
that's not long. That's 25 years away.
Yeah. So originally they were saying 2050, and then it's for about the last decade or more, they've been saying by the mid 2040s. So by 2045, humans would be able to live as long as you desired. And understand, there's been a lot of science fiction over the years that have dealt with what happens when we become essentially immortal. Mm-hmm. And in almost every case, eventually people allow themselves to die in these works, because part of the human condition as it is now in a fallen world was never meant to live forever in a fallen world. We collect scars. We collect wounds as we go through life. And even science fiction writers understand that at some point that becomes severe enough that you go, you know what? I'd rather see what comes next, right? So... There have been articles floating around for more than a decade that basically say by 2045. But I saw an article yesterday. It's Tuesday. Yeah, it was yesterday. That said an updated timetable. Death will be optional by 2030.
2030?
That's 8 years away.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with the breakthroughs that the Israelis have made recently. The Israelis have discovered a very cheap, very simple methodology for extending natural life. Now, they have not dealt with disease yet, and that is the big thing they're expecting in the next 8 to 10 years, is that we will also be able to eliminate the vast majority of all diseases of which death results. So if you can extend human life such that you don't die of natural causes just because you get old, and you can eliminate disease, well, suddenly death is optional. And that's what they're talking about. Now, it's interesting that they arrived at a 2030 date. And there are a whole lot of reasons 2030 is very interesting to me personally, but and the research that I have done, and I know if Steve were sitting here, he'd be arching his eyebrows at me. 2030 is a significant date.
Okay, explain.
So we know that Messiah was actually born somewhere between 3 and 5 B.C. The zero is not really the year that Messiah was born. which means when you get to 2030, we are very, very, very close to being exactly 2,000 years, which is two biblical days after the Messiah came to do his work the first time around and then ascended back into heaven. So if he was born 3 to 5 years B.C., then he ascended. He was crucified, died, resurrected, and ascended somewhere about year 30 A.D., which brings us right to, at 2030, brings us right to the mark where we would be two biblical days past that event. So,
how interesting.
How very interesting. And we, I keep seeing articles adjusting timetables, stuff that wasn't supposed to happen for another 20 or 30 or 40 years, and people are going, no, we think we can get that done by 2030. No, we think we can get that done by 2030. So I'm not a date setter. I've never been a date setter. You end up looking like a fool and having to rewrite your book 37 times when you start setting dates. Mm-hmm. But the year 2030 is a year that I'm very interested in seeing come to pass. So it's interesting that they chose that date to slap that on.
So what have these Israeli scientists figured out? Can you
yeah,
put it into,
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I will give a brief technical explanation and then an example I used with someone else the other day. So on the ends of your strands of DNA, there's something called a telomere. And every time the DNA replicates, it lops off a piece of that telomere. And
read about this. Yes.
When that telomere gets to zero, that strand of DNA can no longer replicate. So it dies. To think about that in simple terms, think of when you go to the store and buy a stalk of celery, right? You've got a nice long stalk of celery, and then on the end you've got some leaves and then another little piece of celery. And imagine that every time you walk into the kitchen, you cut a piece of that off the end, moving towards the leaves. And the moment you get to the leaves, regardless of what's left, you have to throw that whole celery stalk in the trash. That's kind of the way our DNA is. Every time that it replicates, every time that it gets used, it cuts a little piece off the end. And what the Israelis found, and the reason I said you'll know that it's super simple, is that if they will put you in a hyperbolic chamber and then crank the oxygen way up in that hyperbolic chamber and leave you for 2 hours, I think it's 2 hours, eight times in a 2 week period, that suddenly all those telomeres come back. You essentially get to a reset button on telomere death. And that is relatively cheap, relatively simple, and relatively accessible anywhere in the first world. So they've already, the Israelis have already discovered that, hey, we can extend natural life pretty dramatically. How long? We don't know yet, but pretty dramatically. So it's going to be interesting to see as these technologies start lining up and coming together. There have been lots of, you have to understand that we live longer today than people have lived historically, unless we go all the way back to biblical times. Now, my personal opinion on that is that man is not immune to the laws of thermodynamics. I believe that the generation that came before was naturally healthier, and the generation before them was naturally healthier, et cetera, all the way back to Adam, who would have been the healthiest individual ever created. That's the reason we see him living 900 years, and we see Methuselah living 969 years. It's the reason we see that happening, and man's trajectory has followed the law of thermodynamics, is that everything moves from a state of order to chaos. So has mankind. We've just gotten really good at medicine. I read an article 3 or 4 months ago that said if it weren't for modern medicine, the average lifespan right now would be about 42 years. We wouldn't be here at this point. It's only because of modern medicine that we keep our bodies moving forward after that. So it's interesting that the second largest, I suppose, judgment of God was to come down and look at the Tower of Babel and go, y'all want to be gods, and we just aren't going to allow that to happen.
Yeah, we're not going to let you build something to heaven.
Right. And yet today, we have made it to a place technologically where the language barrier isn't much of a barrier anymore. And we have said, you know what? We want to be just like God. We want to live forever. Mm-hmm. And we think we can do that in the next 8 to 10 years. That is a scary proposition. And I say that is a scary proposition only in that there's a whole bunch of really bad stuff that has to happen between now and the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the destination. The destination looks great for those of us who are saved in the Lord, right? That is a beautiful thing that is coming. However, Scripture is pretty clear that the time between where we are and getting to that destination is going to be really, really ugly. Mm-hmm. So some bad things have got to happen, unfortunately.
It's going to be interesting because, I mean, look, once we figured out the human genome, mm-hmm. it was only a matter of time before you could defeat a lot of these diseases.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's what we're starting to see now. I mean, look, when you talk about cancer, it's not like it used to be back in the 60s when people would say, they've got cancer.
Yep, yep.
They'd whisper it because it was a death sentence, and you knew it was a death sentence.
Yep.
You see the commercials on television just like I do about people who have had breast cancer that has metastasized in their body, and they have methodologies now of treating that,
yep.
and they live longer.
Yep. Yeah, and so here's where I'm going to put on my conspiracy cap just a little bit. My honest opinion is that if they really wanted to, and I use the big general global they out there, if they really wanted to, we'd already have a cure for cancer. The problem with that is there is so much money to be made.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with
cancer.
That.
Not curing cancer. Treating cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's by and large true for a significant number of diseases. You have to understand, and I know that sounds tinfoil hat conspiracy. It really does. But understand that big business is in business to make money, not to make you healthy. Sorry.
I would agree with that as well. All right, got about 12 minutes left. Let's take our final break, then we'll come back and spend a few more moments with Billy, and let's extrapolate, if you can live longer, you know, what are some of the negative side effects of that? And I can think of one right off the top of my head, and we'll bring it up when we come back here on the Dave Elswick Show. Don't forget about Pat Davis. It's time for you to, make your choices on health care out there. And Pat can help you with that. He'll make sure that you have health insurance, not a share plan. He'll make sure that you've got a provider, any provider that you want to use, and just use it in the methodology he talks about that can save you 30 to 50% on the health insurance itself and make it so you don't have to pay any copays. That in itself is a huge savings if you don't have to pay copays. And on top of that, sometimes you get checks back from, you know, the folks over at the urgent care center or the hospitals and things of that nature. I mean, that's the best of all of this. If you start getting, you go and you get treated and you get a check back from the hospital after you've been treated, that's pretty cool to say the least. So you call Pat Davis. I'm not good at trying to explain all this. He's the professional on it. Call him at 501-605-6935. That's 501-605-6935. Or visit him online at yourhealthplanman, that's one word, yourhealthplanman.com. All right, 7 minutes left to 8 o'clock, and we're just about done with the Tuesday edition. Tomorrow, Jason Rapert will be with us. State Senator Jason Rapert will be with us. We'll have some folks on from Harding University and, of course, congressional folks, French Hill and Bruce Westerman will join us tomorrow. We'll make our little trip up to Washington, D.C. and find out what exactly is going down up there. So we'll see what our two congressmen have to say. So that's tomorrow here on the Dave Elswick Show. Hey, don't forget Thursday, I've got somebody who's going to be on. You haven't heard from him in a while, but he's going to be back with us, and Jim DeMint is going to be with us. Always fun to hear what the former senator has to say, so we'll look forward to what he has to say. And Michael Cutler will be on, and he's going to talk about the president, the FBI, and the DOJ, and being a domestic terrorist. So we'll talk about that as well. So a lot of good stuff coming up this week. And then Thursday night, I'll be going to the movies because Dune opens up Thursday night, and I'm looking forward to seeing that movie. I just started reading the book again,
right?
Slowly making my way through it, and I already found stuff right at the very beginning I forgot about. It's going to be interesting to see when it's on. All right, so I said, Billy's been talking about some Israeli scientists have figured out a way to, extend your life expectancy, and it's been proven pretty significantly now that they can extend it a lot. Here's my question. What's one of the biggest problems that we got here on planet Earth, and in fact has been talked about just recently, about running out of food because there's going to be too many people? Now, scientists have been talking about running out of food forever, and farmers have figured out how to get more bushels of whatever out of the ground over and over and over again. So that just hasn't happened, where people are mass starvation situations. However, as far as room goes on Mother Earth, we might run out of room. Now, I know there's a lot of room still left in the United States, but do you want to live in the middle of a desert? That's the question.
Well, you know, we are blessed in this country because our population density is so low compared to some places in the world. I mean, go look at Mexico City. Go look at Bangladesh. Go look at, there are lots of places in the world where people are living directly on top of each other, where you've got thousands of people.
That's why they're living up and not horizontally.
And the food issue is a concern, but we there's been a lot of technology thrown at the whole how do we feed the world thing over the last 30 years. There have been some really interesting things coming out of Japan. Japan being one of those countries that where they just absolutely don't have enough land, they're growing food vertically in sky rises or skyscrapers. So that's pretty interesting technology. There's a lot of growing algae in big vats and then trying to turn it into something edible. That just doesn't sound particularly appeasing or appealing to me, but. I guess if you're starving, it's an option.
Hey, you can go to Burger King and eat a hamburger that doesn't have meat in it.
Look, I've had the Impossible Whopper.
Is it all right?
It's pretty tasty. You're going to go, that's not meat, but you're not going to go, ooh, that's bad.
Okay.
And I want to say it's right at the same price as a regular Whopper, too. So it's, we did the vegetarian, vegan thing for a while, just helping... trying to help with my blood sugar and get my blood sugar under control. And I did there for a while until I got some better meds. I was able to go back to eating the way I had been eating. but not a bad burger. Not a bad burger. So I don't do that. When I was doing that, I did not do that because of all the fruity tooty save the world stuff. I did that because I was trying to save me, right?
Yeah. So. Just remember this. Whatever we do to offset a lot of the things of... what the world is like, the world has a way of balancing it out, so to speak.
Absolutely.
This is the way it works.
And there's still someone in control. God's still on the throne.
He is always on the
His
throne.
His plans will always come to fruition.
All right. Billy, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you next Tuesday. Hopefully we'll have Scott and Steve here as well, and you won't have to carry the whole load by yourself. You've done it many, many times. It's the Dave Elswick Show. Don't forget, we've got State Senator Jason Rapert on the first half hour of the show tomorrow, right here on the Dave Elswick Show. Bright shining eyes, the sun.